Hello again, everyone, and welcome to another exciting episode of Are You Not Entertained? This is episode 121, and today's date is July 25th, 2018. My name is Carrie, and I'll be your host for the evening. And as always, I am joined by two guys that are not the tag team champions yet, Kent and Russ. How you doing, guys?
Pretty good, but I like how you said yet, because there's still a chance.
There's always a chance.
Absolutely. Especially with the tag teams the way they are now.
Oh, absolutely.
I like our chances a little bit better if we were single superstars beforehand.
Yes, we should have been single. Yep. Well, yeah, but we could be that one that comes in that's hot and everybody really likes. You never know.
You guys could be the B team.
I really like their theme song. I just want to say how much I like their song.
I can never hear it, so it's too quiet when it's on my phone.
Definitely just go check it out on YouTube, because I was like, do I like this or not? So I went to YouTube, and then I listened to it a couple times. Yes, I'm a fan.
Alrighty.
So, for our first-time listeners and returning listeners who just need a refresher on what our show is all about, the three of us talk about all things wrestling. This week, we're going to talk about this week's historic first-time ever announcement, the happenings on Raw and SmackDown, and we're also going to take a look at the rosters for, the main roster, and kind of figure out who we'd fire before, you know, SummerSlam call-ups and end-of-the-year indie contract season begins. And also, we have our normal segments for you as well. Before we get to any of that, Kent, what's your moment of bliss?
This is an odd week in that I have multiple moments, but they're all kind of quick-hitting moments. First off, props to the Rusev Snickers commercial / Dollar General commercial that played at least during SmackDown. I don't know if it played during Raw since I fast-forwarded a lot. But that was damn fun. I always enjoy when they incorporate wrestlers into the Snickers commercials, so that pleased me. In case we forget to talk about it, Randy Orton cut one of his all-time greatest promos this week on SmackDown and mocked the Bullet Club in the process. So I thought that was very, you know, sweet of him. It was almost like borderline too sweet of him, but whatever the case may be, it was awfully nice. I enjoyed that. And the other moment I had is I found that Elias's new album is not only on iTunes, not only on Spotify, it's also on Amazon. And if you have the Amazon Music subscription, you can just play that shit on your Amazon Echo or Dot or whatever else you have. So, prior to the podcast, I sat down and I listened to the full album while watching Hawks fight each other on Planet Earth 2. And it was an absolute treat. And I was really getting into it. Oddly enough, just Hawks, you know, fucking grappling, flying drop kicks across the board. It was great, all while listening to the stylings of Elias. And I felt like I got an exercise by walking with him. So that was all in its entirety my moment of bliss for the week.
Yeah, that Randy Orton promo, he had me. I was backing him on that promo until he started in on the indie crowd. I was like, oh, come on. Really? Come on.
The only thing I have to say that would be negative about it is the beginning where he was attacking the fans. And I'm just like, when does Randy Orton ever care about what the fans think?
Well, I would say the biggest downside was him saying that he's got the guy that's been there the longest when he's shooting with Jeff Hardy, a guy who was there like 5 years prior to him.
But he probably should have thought about that. No, he made the point of not coming. He did say specifically to people coming in spring before WrestleMania to get that WrestleMania check. So he did make that.
He did, but okay, Kane.
I'm not disagreeing with you. The other thing I like, though, that he did say, but is he the only full timer that's been there?
I think Randy Orton is, well, R-Truth, but R-Truth did leave. Same with Goldust. But I mean, Goldust has everybody beat, aside from possibly Taker, and Vince. Like seriously, Goldust is that fucking old. Look it up, people. He's been in this business since the 80s. Yeah. It's incredible. But yeah, I mean, as far as full-time, you know, hasn't taken, aside from injury breaks or anything, he's never left the company. So he may have the longest tenure now that Mark Henry and Kane are, yeah, I mean, he's got to be the longest one, I think
so, right? That's what I was thinking, too, looking, just thinking about back everybody else. It's just funny, though, that I liked how he said that he is the legend now. And so now his goal has changed to destroy darlings. I did like that.
I just love pissed off Randy because, although he's always a dick, I when he's actually trying to be a dick, I enjoy it that much more because there's a little humor to it.
He's a better
heel. When he's a face, it's not.
Yeah, he's a better heel.
Absolutely.
Gary, you're supposed to keep us on track.
I was enjoying the discussion, but if you guys are ready, I'm going to talk. I want to talk about the announcement that was made this week.
Hold on. I still don't know what announcement. I mean, I watched all of Raw, all of SmackDown. I don't think I got enough reminders, so I'm not sure what you're talking about. There's a lot of things
I think I know what she's talking about. Well, if you paid attention, Bobby Lashley was interviewed backstage by Charlie Caruso, and he hinted that there was no sleep till Brooklyn.
No.
That's what you're talking about, right, Kerr?
No, I'm not. I'm talking about the announcement that happened in the opening segment of Raw that continued on... Well, that continued to be shilled throughout the episode and into SmackDown last night. I'm talking about the announcement of a all-women's pay-per-view. Yes, listeners, an all-women's pay-per-view was announced Monday night on Raw. It is called Evolution, and it's happening, I believe, October 27th?
28th, I believe.
28th. Not the main
wrestling. Not that I had any idea that happened.
Yeah, I'm getting that and the date of the start of the Cruise of Jericho confused. Yes, listeners, I'll be on the boat when this happens. Anyway, so basically during this pay-per-view, all women's titles will be defended and the finals of the Mae Young Classic will occur. So guys, what were your thoughts on this historic first time ever announcement? Russ, let's start with you.
Okay, first of all, I just want to say WWE, again, poaching our friggin' ideas. It's just, have you noticed that there's always a delay? I swear, I'm glad we're recording this, right? Because there's got to be a point where we're going to go sue them for stealing all of our friggin' ideas without, I mean, unless they want to give us royalties. I don't want to sue WWE. They can take our ideas all they want, but I want royalties. I want money for this. Right?
Russ, when were you the first person to broach this fucking topic? Because you keep using this weird word, R? And I think if you go in the annals of time, you will see that I broached this before, yeah. So
I'm saying the royal we, Ken.
Yeah, I deserve so many royalties from this fucking company at this point because they keep robbing my goddamn ideas. It's like the fifth one within the past 2 months. This is getting ridiculous.
It is ridiculous. I mean, I would say last 3 months, but it is ridiculous.
Yeah, okay.
All right. But anyway, to the announcement, I like it. I really do like this idea. I think it's about time they've had this. It'll be interesting to see which way they're going. I now think that there's no way that Ronda's winning this at SummerSlam. I think she's going to take it at the all-women's pay-per-view. That's just my two cents. Makes sense to me, anyway, that they'd go that route. But yeah, it is historic. I actually am kind of excited about it. I don't know how hard it's going to be, though, because when will I fast forward? Because they're all women's matches. Or when will I get up to go to the bathroom? Because they're all women's matches. What do I do?
I don't know. I'm just wondering how I'm going to watch it. I'm hoping they show it on the cruise. But one question I had, and then Kent will get your thoughts for both of you, and maybe Kent, this is something you're going to talk about, is what did you think of that opening promo, though? It just seemed like they were really, really trying to sell us on it. I mean, I think it's great. I'm excited for the women. I mean, as a woman myself, I think it's a long time coming. But seriously, it was very forced, very just fake. What did you think, Kent?
Yeah, fake. Fake is a very good word. Triple H getting choked up. Uh-huh. Yeah. Listen, it's not a long time coming. Who really wants this? When you think about it, when you watch pay-per-view, what's the match that you usually sit there and go, you know what, if I have to go to the bathroom, what match am I thinking about going during? Oh, the women's match. So, Russ got that 100% right. This is like a pay-per-view. It's like back in the day, like when you'd go and like buy or rent a porn and it had like six different scenes. You didn't go and watch the whole thing. You broke it down in segments. I feel that's how you're going to have to digest this Evolution pay-per-view, which I think is unfairly named. It should be called Emolution. Yeah, I had to get my girl in there.
Rightfully
somehow.
So.
Yeah. That's becoming a dead horse, too.
I don't care. I will ride that horse.
As we're beating it.
Yes.
Before you continue on, Ken, I have a bone to pick with you as far as Emma or Tennille is concerned. I sent a photo to you and Russ a few weeks back. I did not get a comment from you on said photo.
Where did you send it?
Sent it on Messenger.
Or Facebook?
I don't.
Well, as Russ is currently looking it up, I may or may not be doing the same thing. Well, I'll do it when I'm not talking.
I was going to say, you're talking, though, so go ahead and talk. I'll look it
up. Right. Yeah, okay. So, 50 Women tells me that there's going to be like some fucking Battle Royal nonsense, and that's where we're going to get all the past superstars and maybe some of the newer blood and, you know, Alicia Fox. Let's face it, she's not going to get a singles match, no matter how great that girl is. And I know we may talk about it later, but this feels like a perfect time. Are they now officially saying we don't give a fuck about the Bayley and Sasha history at Brooklyn? We're saving that for this pay-per-view? Like, I think they're holding off on SummerSlam, and now they're holding off the Bayley-Sasha thing for that pay-per-view. I think that could seriously headline it if they really want it. Like, if they want to, that can headline it. That's because right now, all the hugging and stuff, it's borderline creepy. Like, they are too lovey-dovey at this point.
They're about 2 seconds away from scissoring in the middle of the...
Yeah. I'm waiting for the scissor lock takedown maneuver of sorts. Or the double team scissoring. The scissor submission, maybe? Something of that. Face full of stuff. I don't know. But it's getting a little creepy. Yay for the women. This shit should have happened, though, what, in April? May? Like, they're a little late to the show, in my opinion. They should have had this planned the moment that they're like, oh, Saudi Arabia is not going to let us have women. Let's counteract that. Don't wait. It's going to be effectively, what, 6 months?
Roughly.
Why wait that long? That's my biggest gripe. Don't wait that long. They should, every year, because every year they're going to do this Greatest Royal Rumble thing. They're not going to allow women over the next few years to wrestle there, so shouldn't they bookend, like, make those kind of one after the other?
Maybe they'll do that next year.
That way they
can
tell stories. I think about how bad October is going to be. You know what's great about October? I watch a lot of horror movies and I don't care about wrestling as much in October. So I'm grateful.
I'll say this is helping you,
so
then,
grateful.
Right? Yeah.
Oh, so happy.
Okay, so picture. Let's go quickly. We always do this to ourselves. We're going to waste time. But picture. I think it's which one it is. Is it the one of the Ring of Honor?
Picture yes.
Of her nice ass, and yes, Kent, you did not say anything. I said it for you. Ted. I said that's good work, Carrie, because it is a nice shot of her ass.
Do we have a date?
June 29th.
Okay. I can keep scrolling.
I couldn't have gotten a better shot if I tried. I mean, she was literally standing right in front of Eric and I.
Yep. You did talk about the double A picture, which is almost immediately.
You mean
after.
A double?
Yes, A double, sorry.
I got corrected about that, and I was told to send a shirtless photo of Arn Anderson.
Yes.
Which I did.
You did. I have that, too, as well. I do see it.
Son of a bitch. That is...
Fantastic
that
work.
Is, yeah. And look how fat that ref is. This is all nice. I'm saving this.
That's for later. Spank?
All right,
spank.
So...
All right, let's get back on track, shall we? Now that I've cleared the air on that. Only took me a month to do so.
Right. All I'll say is this about the women's thing real quick is they beat the shit out of that horse last night. I'm surprised it's still alive and breathing. And but this is just the first week.
Are you upset, though? Like, the one cool shout-out was Braun shouting out to Bliss. I approve of that message.
I like the positivity they're putting through with it. It was just, holy shit, every segment. And if that's what they're going to do until this thing goes off...
And why didn't they play Vince's theme song? Like, I don't get to hear it hardly at all, and I want to hear that I have no chance in hell. And
I think,
did anybody notice how far Jinder's stock has dropped? He was in the back row, tucked the fuck away.
And now he's a yoga guru.
But Nikki Cross was in between Titus and Braun. Greatest size differential I've seen in a while.
I was just going to say, yes, but Nikki Cross was front and center, and man, does she look giddy and happy.
She looked so yes, I was very happy for Nikki. I'll be happier when she's actually on a roster doing something.
She'll be on. She's got to go on SmackDown. They've got to be putting her with Sanity.
Yep. We keep hoping for that.
I think they are. I think they are.
Well, Carmella had to be with Enzo and Cass. Oh.
No, I think this is true. We'll see, though.
Well, you're right. Also been doing live shows for
with SmackDown. Yes.
That's usually a good indication.
But that just means she'll be on SmackDown. It doesn't mean she's going with Sanity.
If they don't put her with Sanity, though, that'll just be plain insanity.
That's like killing Sanity. Wouldn't that be like killing Sanity?
What?
They lost this week,
What? No, they wouldn't job it. Oh, they did.
I can't believe they did that. I'm like, this is Sanity's chance. And now it's because to find out that Sanity just won it. Extreme Rules.
Yes.
At Extreme Rules just to lose here. So, kind of like that Bobby Lashley thing. Oh, wait. Maybe we should move on and start talking about these things instead of distracting ourselves by other things.
Well, Russ, shut the hell up and let Kerry host it then.
All right. Sorry. Go, Kerry. Go.
Yeah. Let's start with what you first started talking about. Let's talk about what's going on in the SmackDown Tag Team Division. We had the first round of the tournament this week. We had,
somebody showed up.
Sanity versus the New Day. New Day picking up the win. And my milk carton campaign has worked, guys. The bar is back.
Yeah, I wasn't sure who they were. I thought they were indie darlings at first, maybe. But then I saw the bar, and I was like, wait a minute, I've heard of them before.
They weren't even like too sweet in each other, so I was very confused.
Right, exactly.
Very confused.
It's like, what's going on here? Who are they?
You aren't members of the Bullet Club.
Which part of the Bullet Club?
You know, the black and red ones? I don't even know, is that a thing?
No, all there black is and white is ones? The OGs and the Elite. There's no colors involved.
Aren't they calling in TNA or Impact Wrestling the OGs, the LAX OGs? Like, come the fuck on, wrestling community. Stop being so goddamn lazy.
Yeah, new names, please.
Nah. Original gangsters, please.
Creativity, you know. It's hard. It's hard.
All right, so Kerry, who do you want to talk about this first?
Well, Russ, since you're talking, go ahead.
All right, that sounds good.
He is just chomping at the bit tonight.
I am. I don't understand why Sanity lost this. It would have been better for them, but I'm hoping this is just their way to leading, what's her name, back to them, which I can't think of her name right now, which is really stupid.
Nikki Cross.
Thank you. I think this is just a way to get Nikki Cross leading back to them and making them a team of four and making them united. I think that's what they need. But that was stupid. I like New Day, so I'm not going to complain, but whatever. I really like that the bar came back. Thank God. And I like their shirts. I really like their new shirts. They look nice. I'm looking forward to next week more about what's going to happen there. Because I missed the bar. So.
And Ken?
I like the bar. Everybody knows that. I don't need to dwell on it. I will give an option for SummerSlam, though. Next week, Sanity beats the shit out of one Uso and one New Day member. And then we get an Uso plus two New Day members. And then Nikki Cross joins. And then Naomi joins in. And we have a four-person mixed fuckeroo for SummerSlam that I would watch the shit out of. Because New Day nor Usos are winning this tournament. So I think that'd be a good way to introduce Nikki as part of Sanity. Make Sanity look a little bit badass since they just kind of lost a lot of momentum.
Which they
I think this would help.
To begin with.
Right, like, take out two members, because, you know, Usos and New Day like to work together anyway, so it would make sense for that to be, you know, just take one out from each group. I think it works, and it makes Nikki also look like a badass. I would actually have Nikki get the win, too.
I'd watch that. I like that. I like Nikki. I've liked Nikki ever since I saw her at that one live event when they were here in D.C., I watched her and I'm like, she's that special kind of crazy, and I really dig it.
She has all kinds of great energy. Like, she's a good wrestler. She takes some good high fly attempts, but it's all the presentation for her and her charisma. So yeah, very very much a fan of Nikki, and I like to get to see Alexander Wolf in the ring more. I'm such a big fan of his, and I don't know why.
He's not bad, but I'm completely, like, I really, really, really enjoy Killian Dane.
Yeah. They're all special in their own unique way, so.
All I know is on NXT, haven't we seen that there's going to be more Mustache Mountain?
Yes, there is going to be more Mustache Mountain. You know, we can all use a little bit more Mustache Mountain.
No, we need more Trent Seven.
Yeah, you know what? I like him way more than I like Tyler. I just do. I don't know. I like his mannerisms a lot more. NXT is so good. When NXT gets going on the right track, sometimes they hit weird lulls for like a month where you watch their weekly show and you're like, you guys are making zero progress, and all of a sudden they ramp it up. And it's phenomenal when NXT is running at its pinnacle. I don't think there's a wrestling organization that does it better. But NXT is also guilty of hitting lulls like awful. Like, I can't even think of any company that hits a worse lull where you're just kind of maddeningly bored out of your mind. It's very high and low.
Well, I think in, like, NXT's defense, they are always prepping for the next takeover, and takeovers are so few and far between that as soon as the takeover's over, you have the wrap-up show, and then you have that lull, and then it's, oh, we have 2 months to the next takeover. Let's hit the gas.
You know what kills it for me is actually the wrap-up show, because yes, you can watch NXT via Hulu, but by and large, I would guess anywhere between 75 to 80% of the fans watching NXT on a weekly basis is doing it through the WWE Network. Therefore, they have access already. You don't need a review show with, like, two random odd matchups that nobody... They're never important. They're never there for any particular reason other than, hey, these two guys were on the show. Okay, give us those two matches and then give us two other matches. And I don't need to know what I just watched. That, I don't know, that always makes me a little angry, to be perfectly honest. But, yeah, you're right. I mean, they are preparing. It's prep school. I totally get it, and I am a little too hard on NXT because when it's good, like, that's what I crave. Like, I just crave NXT at its peak, so I don't know. It's weird. I agree with you. You're right. Do you think, I mean, let's go back to that tag team tournament. Do you think the Bar is winning next week?
I would think so. I mean, they're really the only team that should win. Now that they're quote-unquote back from whatever hiatus they were on, they're really the next logical choice for the Bludgeon Brothers.
Yeah, but every...
Then again...
Yeah.
Logic gets thrown out the window when it comes to WWE, so we're probably going to use those again.
I mean, they gave the Usos one hell of a push last year that they were the top, like, we had talks that the Usos were, like, the best tag team we'd seen in, like, 5 years. It's not that I can complain about it, it's just the fact that they've put the Bludgeon Brothers over them cleanly, I think, 2 or 3 matches. I'm convinced that they're not going to lose again, so I'm not interested in that matchup anymore. It wasn't a terribly close matchup at any given point. I still don't know who's going to beat them. I have no idea who's going to beat the Bludgeon Brothers for the belts.
Nobody's been built up to be strong enough to do so.
Do you think if Sandy actually... If they followed my ideology and they like took out an Uso and a New Day, would that help build them up to possibly be considered, or is that still not enough?
I think that would help them regain their momentum.
Yeah, it's... Like, they have the great... They have the awesome tag team foundation in SmackDown, but they don't have enough lower level... I mean, shit, Gallus and Anderson are fucking great. And they're, like, the lowest team on the totem pole, and it's kind of weird, right? Like, I'd almost rather see Ty Dillinger and R-Truth be a tag team. Just... Why not just make it?
Wow, that would be great.
The Perfect Truth or something like that?
Yeah, or 10 Truths, or...
Yeah. I mean, there's a lot of nicknames.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
So, I mean, they need some lower level tag teams because you can't just have all these great tag teams. It's maddening to see that too, because, you know, the Usos had some records. New Day had that big ass record. The Bar was phenomenal. And they all are kind of in a jobbing pattern right now. They need some lower tiered teams. Ain't that right, Russ?
You know it. I am so glad that you guys are finally discussing that they need lower, lower.
Yeah, I mean, what would be your team name for R-Truth and Ty Dillinger? We came up with the Perfect Truth was one of them.
Okay.
Can you outdo that, Russ?
Perfect.
You can't not call them Seth Rollins.
What about the Seth Rollins or
the Perfect Rollins? Yes.
Or maybe the Roland Rollins.
The Burn It Downs?
Yes. Oh, the Burn It Downs. Yeah. Good one. No, the Perfect Truth is actually a pretty good name for them.
Because they are kind of being wasted right now as singles.
Oh, absolutely.
Right? Like,
well,
their backstage stuff's funny, but I'd rather see them as a team. Yeah. They could be a lovable duo.
A lovable losing duo, but yeah.
Yeah. All right, what's our next topic?
All right, guys. Well, since we brought up Seth Rollins, I think we should talk about Seth Rollins. Russ, I think you should take the lead on
absolutely.
This, since it's
Seth
Rollins. Let's
talk about Seth Rollins in a new segment that I completely and totally came up with. The Rollins Roundup.
Oh, I thought it was the Rollins Rubdown. My
That's
bad.
That's for me later after the podcast. The Rollins Roundup is more on a play on the blog, thanks to Anonymous, with his Ronda Roundup. And where can we get that blog, by the way, Carrie? Where can these people see this blog?
9deuce.com.
Okay. Slash wrestling.
/wrestling.
All right, anyway, the Rollins Roundup. So this week, Seth didn't have much going on this week, but he did come down to make the save for Finn Balor, which totally makes sense because they're totally friends and totally just good guys together. So Rollins coming down to make that save makes a lot of sense. I 100% back it. What I did like, though, is I did like the match. The match was really good. It was fun, entertaining. I absolutely love Drew and... actually, I like all four guys. They're the workhorses of Raw right now. And they've put on great matches. This one wasn't any exception. Finn versus Drew before it was fantastic. I really liked it. I really enjoyed this. And Seth picked up the win for his team, I think. I think he's the one who got the pin. I'm going to say he was anyway, even if he didn't. Seth got the win because it's all about Seth. And that's the Rollins Roundup.
Kent, anything to add to the Rollins Roundup?
I'm sorry. I barely heard anything. There's something wrong with my headset. I heard this like weird noise, and
this sound like this.
Yeah, Yes, yes. It sounded like somebody with like something in their mouth. It was just very garbled. Yeah. I must need a new headset.
I think
Yeah, I saw the match. Wow. Not breaking any new ground, but yet somehow. Why is Rollins getting another fucking opportunity? What, like, what is up with the Shield entitlement? That's what I'm calling it right now. I'm calling it the Shield entitlement because these motherfuckers lose match after match after match. But hey, have another chance, have another chance. Well, burn it down, believe that. Well, yo-ho-ho and get the fuck out of here, okay? I'm sick of your nonsense. Where's Dean?
Seriously,
I agree.
Where is Dean?
I think somebody should ask Renee. Renee, where is your husband?
Maybe.
That's what I wanted to say. Renee Young better be on fucking commentary at that pay-per-view. If not, the whole thing's a sham. Okay. Renee Young best be lead commentator.
So Lita's gonna do it.
Yeah, because she can lead... What, more dicks in her?
Matt.
She does have a past edge.
She does have an edge.
Punk.
All right, guys. All right, let's move on.
She's
shall
no
we?
Paige, though. She's no Paige.
Nobody can be Paige, Russ. Nobody can be Paige. Paige is amazing. Anyway, let's move on, shall we? Let's talk about a certain individual who had an album dropped this week, and also talk about how he was just continuously interrupted on Raw this week. In our segment, Were You Not Entertained? Just to give you a little background, listeners, on our segment, Were You Not Entertained? Each week we take a segment, or in this case, segments, and discuss whether or not we were entertained by them. As I said, we chose the Elias segments this week, where he was interrupted every time he tried to play the song. I have to admit, guys, I was very, very, very entertained by this. In fact, as soon as I saw it, I said, they're going to do this throughout the entire episode, aren't they? This needs to be our segment for the week. What did you think, Kent?
I mean, yeah, got me to listen to the whole album, so totally worth it. It worked on me, and it should work on everybody. Although I have this sinking suspicion I'm the only person here that has listened to the full album, which makes me a sad
panda.
Not
just a sinking feeling, it's a truth.
I haven't had a chance yet.
Yeah, yeah. Alright, well, as the only person that's actually listened to the whole album, I can say it worked, it was worthwhile. If I had one minor gripe... It is. I really expected Elias to interfere in the Roman and Bobby match. That's my only minor gripe. I don't even know if I can call it a gripe, but he's kind of been directionless for almost 2 months now. Give him a direction now. Like, push the album, but give him a feud as well. That's all. And him and Lashley, I would enjoy that. So that's my thoughts. Entertained. Hell yeah.
And Russ.
I was not entertained. God damn it, they screwed Elias so hard in this. I wanted to hear some good music, and frankly, they cut him off every time. I was not entertained by that. I was pissed. I wanted to hear his music, and frankly, he should have had a whole hour to himself.
So you were so mad that in your rage, you couldn't spend the 15 minutes to listen to the whole album.
No.
That is what I just heard from you.
It had to happen on Raw. I wanted an hour concert, and it didn't happen. I was not entertained. Come on. You're telling me that there's not an hour they could have gave it to him, that they could have just said, that wasn't worth it, give it to Elias?
Oh, I agree. They could have dropped the whole first women's segment, every segment in which guys talked about women, and we could have had the Elias concert. Seriously, you get rid of all the women commentary and the replays within replays, which was great on SmackDown,
yes.
By the way. It was the inception of replays. They're like, well, this happened last week. This happened at the pay-per-view. Well, this was last week. Yeah. And then I'm like, what the... I wasn't sure if I was high or not. Like, things were weird.
Overall, though, yeah, I'm with Kent. They really need to give Elias a direction. He's been money, and they haven't done anything with him. He's kind of like Finn, too. So it just sucks.
But Finn has his own locker room.
That's
now.
True. That was great. I'm not gonna lie.
I kind of liked Finn's reaction. Like, I'm actually digging his and Corbin's chemistry yes. in their own little way. It's not bad.
Yep. So,
well, while we're talking about people who interrupted Elias, let's talk about the whole thing with Braun Strowman and Kevin Owens. Segment was good. Now Kevin Owens has a shot at the briefcase. Give me your thoughts on this, guys. Russ, you first.
All right. So I just want to start out and say, good for KO. I really loved this, his promo. He came out with fire. He came out like a guy who's been bullied and he's not going to take it anymore. Is this WWE kind of trolling its fans? I mean, seriously, clearly Braun is a bully, and I think they're playing it up like that. Because who's the leader of Be a Star? Stephanie. What did Stephanie do? She gave KO his chance at the briefcase because Braun is a bully and deserves to get punished. And since Kurt Angle couldn't do it because he's part of the cool kid group, couldn't do that. I love what they're doing with this. They kind of turned the story around on Braun, and I'm hoping it kind of goes KO's way now. I'm excited. This is one of the better stories they're telling. I really like it.
And Kent.
I'm trying to undo a fruit roll-up here, people.
And that's always an important thing that has to be done right.
Yes! Yes, okay? So, here's the thing. Can Kevin Owens come out at the pay-per-view to Owen Hart's Enough is Enough and It's Time for a Change music? I mean, Martha will get pissed off, but everything pisses her off nowadays, so fuck her. Let's just bring back a little bit of Owen, and if anybody could honor Owen, I feel KO would do a tremendous job as a fellow Canadian. I can't pretend to understand the logic in making bullies the face nowadays. But that's where we're at. Before we know it, if this keeps up another year, we may actually call this the bully era. It could very well, because that's where we're seeing more and more feuds where the face is the bully for some reason. It's really weird. Braun's just a dick. Like, we're in an era as fans where we hate a guy that busts his ass and tries, you know, work hard and everything. Hate Jinder Mahal because he's foreign. But, you know, Braun likes to do horrible, mean things to people. Oh, it's funny because
unprovoked,
you know, he's a big guy.
Unprovoked.
Absolutely. And Kurt Angle's busy trying to be everybody's, like, cool uncle. The whole thing is just weird. So, good for Stephanie. I like that. That may have actually been my favorite segment of the whole evening was just the backstage by the limo because I got to see Corbin, KO, Kurt, and Stephanie. I don't know. I just really liked. I liked all the characters on my TV screen at that moment. So that was good. I liked it. Also, I think KO may win. Let me ask this. Do you feel that whoever holds the briefcase will cash in by the end of SummerSlam? Because I think whoever's holding it is cashing it in that night.
I hope so.
It feels like it. It would be a great... See, that's why I don't think it could be Braun. Because Braun, if Roman wins, I think they're going to give Roman his win. If Braun has it, he's not going to cash in. It wouldn't make sense. But if KO had it, it makes a ton of sense. So...
Absolutely. Honestly, the greatest thing that could happen in some ways is KO winning the briefcase and KO cashing in on Brock.
Yeah.
That would satisfy so many people in so many ways. Sexually.
Very much so.
Yeah, especially since KO never got his rematch, did he, guys?
I'm sure he did. You're thinking of Finn. Finn didn't get his rematch.
No, KO never did either. He got beat by Goldberg, never got a rematch. It was great.
Do we realize that Kevin Owens is basically the only real champion of this belt?
Longest reigning? No, he's not the longest reigning.
Not the longest reigning. No, not even close to the longest reigning.
Longest active reigning.
Yes. probably the most title defenses. And that says something considering Brock's held it a lot longer.
Like, you can pitch picture WWE with like one of those graphics that like is all bullshit. Like, did you know that Kevin Owens is the longest active wrestler to hold the Universal Red Belt? Yeah, sure, I knew that, WWE. Go fuck yourselves. Did you also know that we have more Facebook followers than 15 other things? Nope, never counted, but that's cool, thanks.
And nor do I care.
WWE,
but you know what
cares.
I do care about? Well, good for them. You know what I do care about, though? Russ, is an answer to a question.
Is it a question
that
that's burning?
Only you can answer. Right. Is it mild?
Excellent question, Carrie. Is it mild?
So, Russ, you interrupted your own, like, introduction for your own segment. You're like, I can't wait. I have to blow my load before
you,
Carrie, can even introduce it.
How long have you known me? That this should not
no,
be a surprise.
I'm still impressed that this is happening. I'm just impressed. Right.
So, yes, is it mild? Again, folks, if you don't know my segment here, different from the Rollins Roundup. Rollins Roundup's more of a slobbing on and stuff like that. But anyway, is it mild? I take a segment that's a wrestling segment. I'm not talking, it doesn't necessarily be actual wrestling, but, you know, us fans, we look for certain segments to get us pumped up for matches. And that's what I'm taking here. I always take that. And I decide, is it mild? I ask myself, is this the type of match that, we want to kind of see, okay, whatever, or this segment that gets going for a match? Or is it medium, you know, kind of hits the right spot? Or is it hot? Or, of course, Kent, everyone's favorite. You know that's sweet, sweet kicking where, like, that's the wrestling pinnacle. What is it called, Kent?
It tastes a lot like TJP.
It does taste like TJP. It's suicide, baby. Suicidal. All right. So, now, this week's segment I took on was the Miz's segment. And I'm going to incorporate all the pieces of the Miz. And I'm just going to say this. It was interesting. I really liked it. I like how they showed the baby coming in. You know, they were setting up a nice big plot. The Miz and Maryse had their baby with them. Real quick, time out. That was definitely their baby, right? I mean, why would they get a stunt baby even though that's what they kind of said, right? Right? That was their real
possibly.
Baby.
It seems feasible that's probably their own
I would think so, because they're not really...
They were on screen for, what, 12 minutes? Probably Sin Cara was, you know, babysitting, we hope.
Who wouldn't want Sin Cara to babysit? That's the safest place that baby could be. But anyway, then The Miz had The Miz TV for their premiere of The Miz and Miss. Not that I'm going to ever watch that show because it's utter garbage and trash. But I do like The Miz and I do like Maryse. And I really liked what they did here. This segment was fantastic. They played it so well. So Miz had the baby with him. We all think he has the real baby unless, I mean, only if you're stupid, he thought he had the real baby. Obviously, the baby didn't move at all. So it was obviously a fake. But the way they played it was really well. Daniel Bryan's little stupid... Okay, I gotta ask you this question too. When Daniel Bryan's thing first came on, did you guys think it was real? Like, I thought it was real. And then I saw that Miz was kept on getting embarrassed. I was like, maybe it's not real. But didn't it feel like in the beginning it was kind of like a real thing?
Yeah, it was a slow burn and about halfway through.
Yeah, they really got me with it. So, again, this whole segment, and then finally Daniel Bryan coming down... And The Miz throwing the baby at them, or at Daniel, and Daniel with his fatherly instincts catching it, and then getting kicked for his problems. This was, I don't do it very often, guys, this was suicidal. This got me pumped. I cannot wait for Miz and Daniel Bryan to finally meet. And I know I don't really need that much for that, but this segment was fantastic. I loved it. Suicidal. Hot. Extremely hot. And that is, was it mild?
Very nice. I enjoyed that segment. It was pretty good. Ken, any thoughts on your part?
I wish I followed Gene Snitsky on social media, because somebody had to have been like, yo, Gene, shout out to your brother, and like sent him just that clip. That's all I'm hoping for. And how timely was Snitsky last week as guest the wrestler,
right?
And then this segment?
Again,
this week?
I think.
Oh, that was perfect.
Totally,
timing.
I think
perfect
they pulled
timing.
This from Snitsky. They're like, Snitsky, oh my god, let's do the baby segment.
Yeah. WWE once again infringing. WWE, I just want you to know, like, we own the copyright to this shit. Stop it. Stop, please.
And we're really easy to please. Send us money our way. You've got plenty of money. Send us some money.
Shirtless pictures of Seth. Shirtless pictures of Bliss.
God, yes. both of those.
Shirtless pictures of Braun. We're all going to be happy.
How am I getting happy here?
You're telling me you don't want to see Bliss?
Pictures of Bliss. Yeah.
No, no, not really.
Bottomless pictures of Bliss.
Oh, my God, Carrie. Come on. We're not lewd here.
Actually, that's what I want. I'm changing my demands.
Although, if you can give me more suited Baron Corbin, I am on board.
He is very fashionable. Very fashionable.
What is the tattoo? Does it say Lobo?
No idea.
It's either Lobo or something to do with his name, because I thought maybe like Corbo or something like that.
Okay. Yeah, I can never get a good look at that top letter.
Yeah, it's right behind his earlobe. It's really tough to see.
I was too busy looking at the suit, but that's just me.
Blue was the color of the night, too. A lot of blue.
Was he wearing blue? I thought he was wearing red.
Triple H. Jeez,
I don't remember.
No, it was blue.
So distracted.
Oh, you know who wears red, though?
Seth Rollins.
Burn it down.
Maybe that's why.
Always goes back to Seth.
And I always see red. Yep, I always see red.
All right, let's talk about another S.H.I.E.L.D. member, shall we? And talk about all the number one contenders that were established this week. Let's start with the Universal title. Roman Reigns beat Bobby Lashley to become number one contender. I'm going to go to Kent first for his thoughts.
Pro tip to any aspiring wrestlers. Learn two things. When a Superman punch is coming so you can duck. And to wear a metal chest protector. That is your recipe. That's how you beat Roman Reigns. It's not that fucking complicated, but they seem to make us think that it is that complicated. But if you take those two things away, he's perfectly beatable with his wet hair. Which I just, you know, this is kind of off topic, but I just read an interview with Chris Masters talking about how sweaty Bobby Lashley gets, but like if you touch him, like he's hard as stone. And then he was talking about strong guys. He's like, John Cena never sweats. I was like, that's such a weird tidbit to have in an interview, but it like stood out to me for whatever reason. With that being said, this was Roman Reigns wins LOL personified. I mean, is there really anything else to say? Like, was anybody surprised that he won? Like, the only surprise was that, for me, was that Elias didn't, you know, interfere in some way. That's the only surprise.
I was going to say, the surprise for me was the fact that it was clean. I thought for sure they tried to protect Bobby on this.
Yeah, I'm a little surprised because I still want the triple threat. I see no reason why. Bobby has a legit argument. He should be in that triple threat. He won at the pay-per-view, not on a shitty Raw.
Right.
Yeah. Whatever. Entitlement, S.H.I.E.L.D. Can't wait for Dean to come back, turn heel, kill everybody. Win.
Repeat.
Conquer.
Renee. My thoughts. Russ? Yeah, my thoughts on this. Please let this be the end. Please let this be done at SummerSlam. Roman winning the friggin' thing. I don't care how it ends. I don't care if Roman wins it and that's how they end it. I don't care.
Do you want Roman to actually win it, though?
I don't want Brock.
I've gotten to a point where I don't want him to win it.
I don't want Brock to have it anymore. I'm sick of Brock. If they're going to make this... Okay, this is what I want them to do. Either get rid of the fucking belt and just let Brock take it with him and disappear with it. Or give it to somebody who's going to actually do something with it. Because this belt, I know we made fun of it for so long, but the belt could be good by now because it at least could have been established. They've taken 2 years to de-establish this belt again and it's still garbage. I don't care about this belt. So if Roman wins it, yes, let this be done with. I don't care if Roman wins it and Braun cashes in. I don't care if Roman wins it, KO cashes in. I don't care if Roman wins it and just ends the friggin' SummerSlam with it. I don't care. End this thing. It gets terrible. If Roman doesn't win it here, he shouldn't be allowed to touch this belt again, period. Until someone else wins it and whatever. I'm sick of it.
I have a thought here.
Careful, those are dangerous.
Matt Hardy should declare Brock Lesnar an absolute mule and challenge him to a fight at the compound where every wrestler who has gotten pissed off over not holding that damn red belt intervenes on behalf of Matt Hardy and slays the beast. Like, just a gangbang the likes of Paige has seen, you know? Just everybody that's just so fed up with this shit, and that should just be the main event of SummerSlam. I would watch the shit out of that so many times just to watch everybody, like, just take their parting shot on Brock Lesnar. I don't care if Matt Hardy holds it. Like, it'd be funny. It'd be, like, the most useless rub, but, I mean, Brock already got the rub, so he may as well pass it on to somebody else, because that rub's pretty much fucking gone. I don't know. I would love this. It'd be, like, it would be funny as shit, too. I say let's make that happen, because I don't want to see Roman Reigns as champion. I'm putting my foot down. I'd rather have Brock continue ruining the belt, because I'm sick of entitlement happening.
Wow. I'm not.
Brock has done more for the business than Roman has.
That's because Roman can't.
I think Kent's point is he wants to see somebody earn their title shot.
Brock earned... Hold on. Roman earned it.
Earn
three
it
months
down.
Ago.
No, we didn't say burn it down. We said earn it.
Roman. Sorry. He did earn it 3 months ago. And then they kept on pussyfooting around. Like, let's have Brock keep the belt. Let's have Brock keep the belt. I don't care anymore. I am so done with everything that Brock has stands for, that the fucking belt stands for.
So he didn't earn it then, because he lost. Time to move on. Go find your lost little fucking puppy dog and let somebody else actually earn the goddamn thing. Drew McIntyre's looking like a goddamn hoss. Maybe he deserves a shot.
Yeah.
Maybe Braun 100%. Strowman.
Braun Strowman did get a chance. He lost.
Yeah, he got one chance. What is this, Roman's fucking 15th time? 15,
16,
like, Brock's had like 10 matches a while back. Half of them are against Roman fucking Reigns. But we still saying, oh, Roman earned that opportunity? No. I'd rather see Hulk Hogan's old ass come in there and beat the shit out of Brock.
That would be fantastic. I know it would be awful in the long run, but that would be great.
It would be so bad, but it would look good on him. He wears yellow and red.
I'm done with it. I don't care who takes the belt off of him. As long as it's gone.
I just want it to be Bray, really. I mean, I said Matt, but Bray can also be there and steal it.
And that was the whole plan all along.
Because Bray never got his shot 2 years ago.
Well, guys, speaking of people who actually have earned their title shot, let's talk about the number one contender for the SmackDown Women's Championship. Yes, listeners, Becky Lynch is now number one contender for Carmella's SmackDown Women's title.
What are your thoughts on this? I thought about it for a second. I thought you were going to say Samoa Joe earned it, and I was going to laugh in your face because he hasn't earned it worth shit either. I love him, but when was the last time you won a pay-per-view?
We'll get there, Russ. We'll get there.
Sorry. Yes, Becky.
Let's talk Becky Lynch first. Kat?
Jesus, Russ, wait your fucking turn. Sorry. God. All right. I'm happy for Becky. Inevitable things are inevitable. I mean, really, like, what were they going to do? Have her lose? And all of a sudden you'd be like, well, who's going to be, like, give it to Asuka again? I mean, Asuka's basically like the female Roman Reigns at this point. I mean, if we're going to be fair here, and if she isn't, then, you know, Miss Woo is. So, yeah. Yes. Yes. Good for Becky. Happy for her. I have one wish, and I know WWE listens. Please, for the love of God, let Carmella be smart in her wrestling at SummerSlam. Even if she loses, I want smart Carmella, not running and screaming Carmella. I like when Carmella comes with counters. Even if they're sloppy, they're counters and they're thought out. I appreciate that part of Carmella's wrestling. I really like Carmella. I've said this so many times, but she's done what we always ask of people that suck. She got better on the mic. She got a better persona, and she got better in the ring. You can't ask for anything more than that. Most of the people we cheer on have not done all three of those things. She did. She deserves our respect. That's my thoughts.
And Russ.
Well, I think Miss Wu is more like the Triple H of things more than the Roman Reigns. But
does that make Naomi Booker T?
Well,
I'm scared.
Yes. Oh my goodness.
Yeah. Think about it. It's scary.
But anyway, back to the whole point. I like how they fired Ellsworth, which is a terrible mistake. Absolutely. That's another sign of bullying. Because didn't she say, we don't make fun of people on SmackDown? And then right before that, she made fun of Ellsworth? Ugh, double standards, I swear to God. Anyway.
Plus, who else has more victories over AJ Styles in the past 2 years?
Nobody.
I don't think anybody has more wins over AJ than James Ellsworth. Agree.
But, anyway, back to Becky. I'm very happy for Becky. Becky has deserved this for 3 friggin' years, so Becky definitely deserves it. I kind of want her to win at SummerSlam, but it won't make a big deal if she doesn't. I do want her to win only because I think she deserves the title. I bet you Asuka's like, why the fuck did you fire Ellsworth now? Why didn't you do it 2 weeks ago? But whatever. I guess it's Asuka's fault for being distracted by stupid shit. So
Asuka's been growing her hair out, and I just want to break it to you that over that 3 years that Becky's been working really hard, around year one of that 3-year run, she actually had the belt.
Okay. So 2.5 years?
Nope. Less than that,
really?
Even.
She held the belt for that long?
She lost at TLC. Hmm.
All right, so 2.25, somewhere around there. But anyway, point being, she's been building up for this. I think she deserves it. A good, decent run, hopefully. And I kind of hope Asuka turns heel. Maybe challenges her. Because that should be a fun run.
Do you want her to turn heel or Becky? Because I kind of want to see Becky.
Well, I've always wanted to see Becky turn heel, so, but I don't know if she will.
You can see it on the WWE Network at NXT.
Yes. Yes, I could. I think her and Asuka both are great heels, though, so.
Asuka was actually a really good heel despite being a face towards, like, the last few months of her NXT run.
Right.
They never called her, like, they never seemed to, like, make it like that. She was kind of the bully face.
Yeah, I bet.
So even in NXT, that happens.
Yep. It's their go-to. How do we make the heel likable? Make him a bully. So, there you go.
That sounds about right. Yeah. All right, so you brought up the name, Russ. So let's talk about Samoa Joe being number one contender to the WWE title. What are your thoughts on this, Russ?
All right. So, first of all, I absolutely love this. Samoa Joe versus AJ. Yes, please. Take my friggin' money. I am ready for it. And if I didn't say it before, SummerSlam is going to be awesome. Preparing myself now for the letdown. Anyway, this has to be good. These two have fought before in Impact, right? Or TNA, I guess.
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, they kind of built their legacy off of Joe versus Styles versus Christopher Daniels.
Right.
It's a shame that Daniels isn't there.
This should be amazing, and I am very much for it. But yeah, if we're talking about deserving it, Samoa Joe doesn't technically deserve it based off how they're booking him. But who cares? He absolutely deserves it, and I think he should be the one to take it off AJ. I hope he's the one who takes it off AJ. Samoa Joe deserves a big run with the belt. I'm very happy with this. This was great. I cannot wait.
What are your thoughts, Kent?
20 months since Becky last held the belt.
Huh.
20 months.
It seems like longer.
Yep. Yep, you kept tossing in that 2-year
I'm
thing.
I'm almost there. It feels like it's been longer, doesn't it?
Yeah, well, that's the thing. So, Joe, I don't think has won a single feud since being called up to the main roster. So he definitely earned it. How? As much as I want to see Joe versus Styles, I do. I feel bad for shitting on this, but the story that WWE has told me is illogical, and therefore I felt two options were viable for this announcement that wasn't Samoa Joe. One, which I think would have been phenomenal, have Phenomenal versus the Phenom. Taker is rumored to be coming for SummerSlam. Would you not be upset over a 7 or 8 minute match in which AJ won? Like, that would just be pure enjoyment.
It's like the legend of
today.
That's
a dream match.
Yeah, that's like a legend of today versus the legend of yesteryear.
It's a perfect SummerSlam match, right? Like, that's a perfect throwaway SummerSlam match because Lesnar's main eventing. We know that. That's a perfect middle-of-the-card type match to get people really pumped. I would have loved that, and I'm not expecting anything great. AJ would have pulled something out instead of getting a 7-minute match. We probably would have gotten a 10 or 12-minute match. It would have been great, though. It would have been great fun. I would have liked that. The other option, honestly, Rusev,
Andrade AJ triple threat match at SummerSlam, I would have been really heavily in favor of that matchup. Because once again, the story that they've told is that Rusev's been really good lately. Andrade's been really good lately. I think that would have been a better story. They haven't told the story with Joe yet,
right.
You know?
Are they going Andrade versus Rusev here, you think?
I could... Well, I mean, Aiden's got to figure into it at some right. point, and Lana's going to figure in, and it seems like typical WWE, where eventually Lana's going to side with Aiden. That's going to happen.
Definitely going for that
because
curve. Yeah.
They always have the wife turn against the husband at some point. Like, that's always a swerve. We haven't seen that swerve in a long while, so
it's due.
Yeah, so that's going to happen. So I could see Andrade versus Rusev. Like, that was a great match. Like, yeah. So I'm fine with everything in the fact that we are going to get a great match. I can't be mad about it. I can be mad about the storytelling. So I am mad about the storytelling. That's all, like, really, when the hell was the last time Joe won at pay-per-view? I've got all night. You have no answers.
NXT?
Yeah. Yeah, NXT. I'm not sure if Joe has won on the main roster on pay-per-view.
I was about to say, I would
really
love to
check
that out. When was the last time Joe won at a pay-per-view on a WWE pay-per-view?
Yeah.
So. Well, I think we have a moment coming up where you guys can just go do that.
Oh, really?
Really?
So,
is it coming up?
Are we done talking about this week in wrestling?
I think we are.
Well, then, Carrie, I have a question.
Sure.
How clean is your corner? Because we got some stuff we got to do by going to your corner.
It's still pretty crazy over here. Probably will be for another couple weeks.
Well, Carrie, then tell us about your corner, please.
All right, listeners, it's time for Carrie's Corner and your weekly G1 Climax 28 update. Results as of today? Well, we're through day 7 of the tournament. Day 8 starts tomorrow morning at 5 a.m. East Coast time. Standings as of right now, we have a 3-way tie for first place in Block A between Evil, Hiroshi Tanahashi, and Jay White. Close behind those three are Mike Elgin, Toji Makabe, Kanushika Okada, and Minoru Suzuki with 4 points, and the rest of the field has 2 points. That includes Hangman Page, Bad Luck Fale, and Yoshihashi. Looking at Block B, we have Kenny Omega leading Block B with 6 points, Kota Ibushi, Sonata, Tetsuya Naito, and Ishii all have 4. And the rest of the field, with the exception of Juice Robinson, has 2 points. Juice Robinson is still looking for that first G1 win.
Because he sucks.
And it'll probably come tomorrow morning against Omega. Unfortunately. Matches to check out from the tournament from days 6 and 7. Check out Tanahashi versus Page and Goto versus Ishii. Matches to watch before we, well, talk again. Check out Sonata versus Kota Ibushi and Juice Robinson versus Kenny Omega. Couple stories coming out of the tournament since the last time I gave everybody an update. Okada's losing streak is over. He won his last 2 G1 matches. Match 9 for Night 9 starts, I believe, Friday morning. The other big news is Kenny Omega is wrestling injured. He has a small heel fracture, which was unveiled in this week's episode of Being the Elite. So that is your update on all things happening in the G1 Climax 28. Let me try that again. And the other non-G1 news out there is that Alex Shelley of the Motor City Machine Guns announced his retirement earlier this week. And that, my friends, is what's in my corner.
I'm surprised your corner didn't cover another thing that happened this weekend.
Yeah, like, Indies doesn't really take place only in Japan.
Yes. Yes, Slammiversary.
Yes, I did not have a chance to watch that yet, but I did hear that the show was very good.
But you had time for all this other nonsense, Perry. Yeah, you're missing good wrestling.
I'll say...
We're going to boo you here.
I can only watch so much wrestling, guys. Unless you guys don't want me watching WWE anymore. And then I got all the time in the world to watch Lucha, TNA.
But you have to
New
watch
Japan,
WWE.
Ring of Honor.
You have to watch WWE.
Yeah. Yeah, I know.
Yeah. It'd be hard to have this conversation. I'll say this.
Russ, you watched some of Slammiversary. How about you gave us your thoughts?
For my thought. Okay, so I am a newbie to TNA. I barely knew anybody was on this thing. I haven't watched every single match yet, but I will say this. What I have seen, good stuff. Like, this is really good. Like, the stuff with Eddie Edwards, I just watched the clips and stuff, and I'm hooked. Like, this is a really good story. I almost want to go back and read about the story, or at least get a way to watch the story, because I really like what they're doing with it. And I like this match against Tommy Dreamer. It was nice. It was cool. I really enjoyed Seidel versus Brian Cage. I really like that match, mostly for Seidel. Brian Cage is all right. He's a little scary in his way he fights, though, because, man, he's sloppy as shit.
They're building him up to be like a Brock Light, almost.
He's sloppy as
shit. He needs some refinement. Yeah.
He's sloppy, but I saw things I liked about him. There's some things I definitely liked, but I can tell he's sloppy.
What's going on, Kerry?
I find that really shocking that he's sloppy, because when he was on Lucha Underground, he was really good.
He was really good, but he is definitely... Maybe we didn't notice it because they always made him play the powerhouse at Lucha Underground, and he didn't do tons and tons of matches, but in this match, he was sloppy. It wasn't terrible. It wasn't like, oh my god, horrible. It was, but you could tell.
Power wrestlers tend to be a little sloppier than technical wrestlers, though, in all fairness, throughout the history of wrestling. But, yeah, sometimes he can get a... Because he's trying to do so many different things as well.
The other match I watched that I just thought was fantastic was the first match. Phoenix, Johnny Impact, or Johnny Abs, as he's more well-known around here. Who were the other two? I can't think of their names. Some Petey Williams, because it was supposed to be, whatever his name is, Frederick, or who was it supposed to be? Was it supposed to be Swan? Rich Swan? Rich Swan. It was supposed to be Rich Swan.
Rich Swan, yeah. Petey Williams is actually better.
Yeah, I liked him. I thought he was really good. Who was the other person in the match?
Did you say Phoenix?
Wasn't Ishimori?
Oh, yes.
Oh, yeah. Duh, how do we not know gentleman?
I'll say this. I was impressed by him. Holy crap. I've never seen him wrestle before. This is the first time I've ever seen him wrestle. I was impressed. I really liked him. Johnny Impact, still fantastic wrestler. That was such a good match. Phoenix, oh my god. Please put him on WWE or NXT. I don't care. I love Phoenix, and he still looks great. I loved him in Lucha, so...
I don't want him in WWE only because then they WWE the hell out of some of these guys. And Phoenix is a guy that... Ricochet is a guy that can transcend that. There's a handful of guys, you know, Mysterio kind of transcended it. But not... look at Kalisto, look at Sin Cara, look at Sin Cara 2. Even Del Rio, for fuck's sakes. They WWE'd the shit out of him. Just to add on, the main event, Moose and Austin Aries, phenomenal shit. And I cannot hype enough Sue Young, I believe is how you pronounce her name. She has, I think, 6 dead bridesmaids with her, which, think Undertaker druids, only they're out there most of the time. Her gimmick is fantastic. If WWE was wise, they would get her. They would feud her with Bayley. Bayley never being able to win. Build it up, and Bayley go to Undertaker for advice. It would be the greatest women's story WWE has told in years.
So it's not happening.
I would... Oh, God, no. Hell, they can't even do Bayley and Sasha right.
Oh, my God.
They're currently scissoring in the corner. Not Kerry's corner, some other corner. Other side of the room.
I was going to say, my corner's full enough.
I'll say this. I enjoyed TNA enough that I want to watch the rest of the pay-per-view. And I almost want to watch it on a television time slot there. So I'm Almost.
I'll tell you this. TNA is good, but quite frankly, I hate to say it, but I feel like if you just watch their cold opening,
you get everything
find
you
out
need.
Everything that happened the week before.
That's probably what's going to happen.
And for TNA, I hate to say it, but usually I am doing blogs or editing the podcast or something, and I'll have it on the background. I pay attention to the cold opening, and if there's something, a storyline that's really intriguing me, I'll pay attention. Otherwise, it's background noise, and then I pay attention to a handful that I really, really like Eli Drake, I absolutely adore. He's a guy that WWE could use, but most of those guys, WWE would fuck up in such a horrible way that, no.
I agree with you, you're probably right, but I just... Phoenix is so entertaining. He's like a lot like Ricochet. I think Ricochet's better, though.
I mean, Russ, let's face it. If WWE kept signing all these people, they'd have to fire
what?
Some other people,
fire
right?
Fire people? But who would they fire?
Yes, they would. I think we should discuss that. Maybe pick three people on the roster, each of us, and say why we would... They should be on the chopping block. What do you guys think?
Carrie, did you just come up with this? This is a brilliant idea. It's like we didn't discuss
yes,
it
I
at
did.
All beforehand at all.
Last week.
Yeah, we kind of touched on it last week and said we would come back
oh,
to
yeah.
it.
Yeah.
And I'm sure our listeners really want to hear our thoughts on this because we promised them that we would
That is
tell
true.
Them.
We should probably do that. I do want to real quick, though. I don't have how many pay-per-views Samoa Joe has won. Okay, good. I have something even better. Here's our number one contenders, WWE main roster win-loss record. Ready? Wins, 28 matches. Losses, 63 matches. Number one contender, everybody.
Two
draws.
To add to that, he's won three pay-per-view matches at Fastlane against Sami Zayn in 2017. At Extreme Rules in everything's in 2017. Let's not get carried away here. The Extreme Rules, and that was like a five-person clusterfuck match. And then he was on Team Raw Survivor Series 2017, but he'd been eliminated. So I guess it still counts as a win because Team Raw won, but he already lost. So half a win. I don't know how you
didn't
quantify
he lose.
That,
so technically, I would count that as a loss. I know Grant's his team
but
won.
But he's on
the
winning
team.
But
he didn't win.
What
yeah,
if you
I don't
put
know
an
how...
asterisk there?
Yeah, yeah. I'm actually curious whoever counted the wins and losses, what they considered that, if they counted it as a win or a loss. But yeah, three. So, yay, number one
Woo!
Contender!
All right, guys. Let's go ahead and thin those rosters. What do you think?
All right, fine.
All right. Kent... I'm really curious about your list, so let's start with you.
I say we just go one at a time and rotate a little bit. My first one, and I think this is the obvious choice on a lot of people's table, and Russ is going to be mad that I'm taking it, but since Kerry chose me first, fuck you, Russ. Nia Jax.
Damn you.
Going with Nia Jax. She has not brought a single thing to the table since being on NXT or on the main roster, and although she has the connection to Dwayne, and she does appeal to a lot of people, she has not Carmella'd anything. She really hasn't improved that much on the mic. She certainly hasn't improved in the ring, and she has not at all improved on her character. As a matter of fact, her character may have regressed. So she's the anti-Carmella. So... some things are beyond her control, some things are within her control, and she has been given the opportunity to shine. Like, this isn't like a case like Dana Brooke, which I'm fearing one of you will probably have on your list, is not a case like that. Nia has been given opportunities, and she hasn't done shit with them. So, she's the first one on my block. Whoever's next can go.
I think I'll go. I'm going to go with someone who we just haven't seen, hasn't really contributed, hasn't really done much, and is kind of just taking, in my opinion, just a roster spot. And there's a lot of talented women coming up, either in NXT or recently signed for the Mae Young Classic, that really could just take her spot. I'm talking about Tamina.
Damn it.
Sorry, Russ.
Ted took my first, and
so
you took my
that's,
second.
That's my first pick. So, Russ, what do you got?
Say Charlotte.
But I'd love to get rid of her. I don't think she does. All right. Shit, all right. So, for my, because I was thinking getting rid of a female, getting rid of a tag team, and getting rid of a main roster guy. I'm just going to say it. Sarah Logan. Fuck her.
Fuck you. That's my reaction in response to that.
No, actually, it's not Sarah Logan. It was the other one. Who's the one that's the butch one that is like an NXT?
Oh, Sonya Deville.
Sonya Deville. That was the one I really wanted. Sonya Deville. I couldn't remember if it was. I knew Kent liked Sarah, so I figured I'd go with that just as a joke. No, Sonya Deville. That's who I'd get rid of. I can't stand her. And Mandy Rose is so much better without her, so.
Russ, as a dude from one dude to another, let's have a little talk here. You're going to tell me with a straight face that Mandy Rose is better in ring.
No, God no. No. And, Sonya Deville's decent.
Oh, so you're going to tell me that she has a better persona
better look,
than Sonya Deville.
Look.
Oh, wait. Oh, so you're keeping this useless.
Yep. Yep.
Talent.
I can't.
Yep.
Pure simple.
I'm glad we are raising the bar around
well,
here.
Well, I'm so glad that you took my first pick and then Carrie took my second.
Oh, because I didn't say last week that Nia Jax was happening one way or the other.
Well,
had you gone first, Russ, I would have just chosen Charlotte.
I know,
Flair,
but
so
then there's arguments
Perry.
Against, like, what? I didn't.
There's not arguments.
I didn't,
entitlement.
I didn't realize her name was really Ashley Flair.
Flair?
Yeah. Flair? Yeah. I didn't know that.
Yep. Ashley.
All right.
Well, good for you
too. Let's go pick number two. Kent.
All right. I have to. This is like a cut for the sake of getting the guy away from WWE because he's being squandered and wasted. I think this guy would do great in Ring of Honor, TNA, New Japan, anywhere else other than WWE. I'm talking about Chad Gable. That motherfucker is never going to get a chance, and he is being squandered, so I cut him because I think he actually would make more money on the indies, quite frankly. So, please.
Okay.
I like it. I agree. I think I'm going to go along with those lines. Someone who I think would probably do better with the independents because he's friends with somebody who's doing very well on the independent scene right now. I'm picking Zack Ryder. He's friends with Cody. I believe Chelsea Green is his girlfriend. She's currently with Impact. So, yeah, I think he would do better in the indies. I really, really do. Russ, who do you got?
All right, kind of similar in the same line of what you guys are thinking. I'm cutting this guy because he's not doing anything WWE. It's not that he's bad. Ty Dillinger. They're giving him some TV time right now. Great. But they're wasting him. Totally wasting. I love Ty. I think he's a decent mid-card guy, and they're just not using him. I think he could flourish and impact I think definitely the indies, he would definitely flourish. But I think Impact he'd be great at. New Japan, I think he'd get better, more utilization if they actually, he wasn't on WWE's roster. So Ty Dillinger's my cut.
I have two people, and I'm not sure which one WWE's more likely to get behind. I want to, just because I feel you guys, one of you two are going to cut this other guy, I'll take this guy. It's going to be surprising. Bobby Roode. WWE has clearly shown their incompetency in booking that man properly. And it's been enough time where they could have done something with him. they kind of sort of tried NXT and he got over, but he got over on name value. He didn't get over on the fact that he was doing anything killer because his character wasn't all... They haven't done shit with his character to establish him in what he can be. Unless they plan on getting James Storm and doing beer money or having him, Eric Young, Petey Williams, maybe Ty Dillinger form like a Team Canada, they're ruining everything that Bobby Roode, and that's a guy that could be making mucho dinero out on the free agent market right now. That guy is so money, and he's being squandered right now. And I love his song. I love Bobby Roode. I'm such a big fan of Bobby Roode, but either give him something to work with, a legit feud, probably the Intercontinental Championship at some point, or just something. Give him something to sink his teeth into. He's the second coming of Triple H. He really is. When he's on, his character is fantastic. They're not giving him the chance to be sad. Right, that's the thing. It's not like the Nia problem. They just are not giving him an opportunity to showcase how great he is. And he's really one of the top 10 talents that they have, arguably. Doesn't seem like it. So that's my pick.
Yeah, the whole thing with Roode is just unfortunate. Because, I mean, he had something really good going on NXT. Even his character, I mean, yeah, the music and the name recognition really, really got him over with the NXT fans, who are, you know, a little more knowledgeable than the casual fans that watch, you know, Raw and SmackDown. But, they really did him a disservice. That's a good choice. Which leads me to my choice. I went with a tag team, and Kent, you're going to be upset with this. A tag team that held the NXT tag team titles, got moved up to the main roster, and then got subsequently buried. I have the unfortunate news to say that I have picked the Ascension as my final cut.
That was my tag team.
I'm having some audio issues here, so just keep going on.
Well, Carrie, do you agree that they're being wasted?
Yes, because I remember seeing what they were in NXT versus what they are now, and the team that was in NXT was a badass team. They were awesome. The team that's now in the main roster is pretty much a joke. It's really unfortunate. And again, another case of very, very bad booking.
Yeah, I can see. I understand that. It's kind of like when I was thinking of Luke Gallows and Carl Anderson. Just, I feel like they're wasted too. But I mean, if they like what they're doing, whatever. All right, my final choice. I'm not gonna go tag team because Gary already took it. I'm going to go with Apollo Crews.
There's my other guy.
I thought so. Because I was debating Bobby, but I was like, nah, as much as I think they'll give him a chance. They're not giving Apollo a chance. Bobby will get his chance, especially when Triple H takes over or Triple H takes more control. That's when Bobby's going to get his chance because Triple H loves him. Apollo, he'll never get that chance. He's done. And I think he can do better other places. So I would cut Apollo and let him flourish someplace else.
Theron.
Apollo's like the perfect fucking wrestler outside WWE. And I believe it was it Chris Masters or Austin Aries? I can't remember. Maybe it was Austin Aries. One of them was just saying like how ridiculously strong, like nobody understands how strong Apollo is. Plus the agility and athleticism, they're just doing a complete disservice to him. I want them and the whole Titus Worldwide thing in AOP. Keep it up. Like, that was actually interesting on Raw. I kind of liked seeing Titus Worldwide get the upper hand. Give them a few more shots like that. We know AOP is going to go over, but Titus Worldwide can look good in the process of doing
absolutely.
It, right?
And that gives them opportunities later on, saying, hey, you did a great job with this. Let's see what you can do with this.
I mean, let's face it. the B team's the tag team champions. Nothing's out of play at this point on Raw. So.
I kind
of
like that, though. I like that. So
I agree. It's such a different dichotomy compared to what SmackDown has, which is all top guys in the tag team division. And then Raw, you have
a few top guys.
Revival and AOP and just junk. Like,
yeah.
Yeah.
At this point, maybe they should just merge the tag team division into one brand.
I would be in favor of that for not only tag team, I'd be in favor of it for the women, too. I mean, I know that I keep hearing women tag team championships, which we've discussed before. When you only have so many quantities, I mean, you to make these small divisions with only like six participants is kind of stupid. It really weakens the title reign. Like, if the B team was the tag team champions of both Raw and SmackDown, wouldn't it feel more important?
Yeah.
So, yeah.
All right, guys. So I think that really covers the week, covers who, you know, who just really isn't working out. So let's talk about what we're looking forward to next week in our segment, I'm Not Finished With You Yet. Well, my what I'm looking forward to next week is pretty obvious. I've been reporting on it for the past 3 weeks now. I'm more G1. All about the G1. How about you, Kent?
It's weird. It's a toss-up. If I knew for a fact I would hear Shinsuke cut a promo, that would be my answer, because he is making me laugh. More likely, though, I'll say more Finn and Baron banter. I'm really enjoying them for whatever reason. It's more Finn than Baron, oddly enough.
And
Seth Rollins. No, I'm kidding. I'm looking forward...
Slurp it down!
No, I'm going to say I'm looking forward to mostly Kevin Owens and Braun Strowman. I'm loving what they're doing with this. This is a great story. I'm all about it. I want to see what happens next. I like it. So, yes. That's what I'm looking forward to.
All right. So you got our thoughts on the week, what we're looking forward to next week. I guess there's only one thing left to do, guys. It's time to play Guess the Wrestler. Yes, listeners, Guess the Wrestler is pretty simple. Each week, one of us picks the wrestler. This week, it's Russ's choice. And it's up to the other two of us to guess who that wrestler is using 9 questions and 2 guesses. There are 2 gimme
She did answers it. 2 in a row. 2 in a row. Good for you.
It's like our
baby girl just took like her first 2 steps. It's so nice.
Where's my gold star? All right, Russ. What are the answers to our gimme
all
questions?
Right. Current wrestler, male.
Isn't Russ's shirt basically a giant gold star?
It's from our alma mater, Kent.
Oh yeah. When's that? That's this weekend coming up.
The soccer tournament? No, it's in October.
Referring to our 20-year.
Jeez. 20 years since we've been out of high school?
I think it's on
and
Saturday.
And look at us now. It
Eric
is Saturday.
Eric and I were
going to
go.
Saturday. I'm not going.
Living la vida loca. Yeah. Yeah. All right, Carrie, what's your first question?
What promotion?
Currently, or what do you want?
Currently.
Independence.
Okay. What was the last title this person held?
Any title?
Yes, any title. What was
the
last
Adrenaline
one they
Championship
held?
Championship Wrestling Tag Team Champion.
God damn it. I took a shot. I had to take the shot.
the Adrenaline Champion Tag Team Championship.
I'm not going to cheat, but God damn it.
I'm going to tell you right now, you know who this is.
What promotion will we know him from?
WWF/E.
What year did this person make their WWE debut?
That is a good question. Give me 5 seconds to look it up.
Damn right, it's a good
film. 1991.
Fucking adrenaline. Oh, dear Lord.
Yeah. He's old.
Oh, I'm out.
No. You know who this is. I'm telling you right now. You know who this is.
Oh, hell.
When they were in WWE, did they hold any titles?
Yes. The WWF Light Heavyweight Championship. So you're narrowing it down. That's a big help, I think. That's why I kept on asking most recent, all that other stuff, because I didn't want to give that one away. That might be the only thing that helps you. I don't know. We'll see.
Man. Okay. Were they... Man, I don't want to waste a question here. Were they ever in... Jesus, I really don't want to waste this question. All right. What color hair did they have in WWEF?
Since I don't have a picture of him up yet, give me a second. Carrie, if you've got a question, you can ask it while I look it up.
What promotion is this Adrenaline Tag Team Championship thing in?
The Adrenaline, that's a wasted question. It's Adrenaline. Yeah. That's the name of the company. That's the name of the group.
Okay, actually, no, it's not, because I didn't know, I was not aware that was a promotion.
Yep. So, well, that doesn't help you, that's all. So if you want to ask a different question, I'll let
you. Nope.
And answering Kent's question, bald.
Bald, okay. That is some shit right there. Okay, so it's somebody that I know, older, were they predominantly a face or a heel?
Face.
Okay. Gary.
Would this individual be considered a parody of another wrestler?
Yes. I think Carrie knows who it is. I think Carrie cheated. I think Carrie looked it up.
Oh, that sounds about
like
right
a
here.
Trick right there.
Well, Carrie, who
yeah,
is
that was
it?
Technically
then?
A nice question. So,
Gilbert?
Yes, it is. Gilbert. Gilbert. Ah. I thought this was a tricky one, because I looked at all this stuff, and I'm like, holy crap. They know who he is, but he's done nothing. Actually, he's held quite a few championships.
He also... I don't know if actually it would have been more confusing if you have told me he had blonde hair, because his early run when he was just
yeah,
a jobber...
Yeah, it was blonde hair, yeah, I know. That's, but when you said his WWF slash WWE, yeah. I kind of was figuring blonde.
That's actually how I figured it out. Because I was just like, okay, light heavyweight, then you said bald, and I was like, wait a minute.
And looking up Adrenaline Championship, he is right now the current tag team champion with James Ellsworth. And
where is Adrenaline? I've never
no
heard of
no idea.
It.
Let's see. It doesn't say. I was hoping to say where it was from, but I have no idea.
I'll look it up. I'm really curious now, especially since James Ellsworth also holds the intergender title
yes,
as well,
yes.
I think.
I chose it because I was just looking for something interesting earlier today. And when I saw that James Ellsworth got fired, I was like, huh, I wonder why they did that so quickly. Now I know why. He's got prior commitments. He's got other things he's got to do. And I was like, oh, look at his... I was like, holy crap. It's Dwayne Gill. I believe he's going as Dwayne Gill right now. But I was like, wait, isn't that Gilbert? And I looked it up. It was. I was like, oh, shit, that's my choice. I got it. I got to use him.
That is so funny. Well, there you have it, listeners. Another week has come to a close. Kent, any announcements for our listeners?
Yes. So, next week, we're not going to be boring you nearly as much with all the recaps because, I mean, really, what the fuck's WWE going to do over the next week? Not much. They might cement a few things and be like, hey, few new matches at SummerSlam, Scissor, and blah, blah, blah. Next week, we are going to embark on a journey with a tourney. We are going to try our best to determine the greatest wrestling entrance song ever. And we're going to do it by eras, and possibly also including like various companies, because I feel WCW and ECW should be mentioned at the very least. They're probably about the only other two companies, because TNA never did much. I mean, Ring of Honor's, back in the day, they actually had better music. So I think we're going to limit it to things that are fairly well known at this point. And we're going to break everything down tournament style. And like I said, we're going to do it in chunks. And then the winners of these chunks will go on to face each other in the grand finale tournament. So let's face it. October is going to be a shit show, so we're probably going to wrap this tournament up sometime in October. So, yeah.
Now, we're going to go by era, right? Are we going to also maybe be able to, at the end, are we going to try to do like a saving grace or anything like that?
I'm going to try to make it so that we have opportunities to bring some back, but I'm not sure if there's a point in it, since it's going to be three of us voting. So, I mean, is there a point in a saving
grace? Yeah, good point.
Because, like, we've already voted them
off. And the problem is, we don't have any fans enough to make them have a saving grace.
Right, we can't, like, do a poll.
We could.
Or could we? I don't know, we could, but...
Yeah.
Whatever. We'll figure out the details over the next week. But, yeah, starting next week, doing that shit. So, next week's going to be the Hogan Rock and Wrestling era. Okay. So, I mean, really, if Warrior or Hogan doesn't win, I am going to be shocked. Because I'm going to be searching high and low for some good entries. There are some good ones, though.
Savage.
Demolition.
Bushwhackers.
Doom. Perfect. Yeah, there's a lot of good choices, so I think we're going to have a lot of fun with this.
All right.
That's what I got for you, Carrie.
All right, listeners. So definitely check that out next week. I'm excited to dig into some of those entrance music themes I haven't heard in years. So that'll be exciting. So listeners, if you like what you heard tonight, definitely hit that subscribe button on iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. Or you can check us out at our website, 9deuce.com, /wrestling or /kentertained if you want to just listen to the podcast. And with all that said, for Russ Kent and myself, we wish y'all a good night, and we'll talk to y'all next week.
Bye, y'all!
I fear for Nia's job now. Just saying.
You?
Copyright infringement, WWE.
For
cool.
Sure, you can't have that with firing somebody.
You say that.
Well, we did plant the seed. If they are listening to us and are taking our ideas, they yeah.